That's an issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. We're just going to go down the line here. We'll start with you.
Do you know who the we is?
Yes, it could very well have affected the vote. And it's like, how can we trust you guys? And what, you have one strike, two strikes, and three strikes? There should be no strikes. It's like that affects us immediately. So we have to sit here and listen to you guys say, well, three strikes and you're out. It doesn't work. I think it's completely unfair. And for you to select the people on your board, you shouldn't have to worry about that. It shouldn't even be a concern. So yes, it affects us, and I'm very upset about it.
Yes, ma'am.
My name's Michelle Davis. I think that Ms. Hupp has totally mischaracterized the people who have disagreed with her on this issue with the fire station. And because she didn't like the way the vote went, she, in the recording, says, these are mean people, they're not very nice people. We're just people who have disagreed with her on a specific issue. But more importantly, that issue came to a vote before this council. And when it did, it was voted that the council would draft a letter in support of seeking an alternate site for the fire station. Nowhere in there does it say that she should go rogue and go to a planning commission meeting and totally misrepresent what the stakeholders and the council have determined as our course of action. So there's no way of really knowing what kind of damage could be caused by that. But the point is that if she's an elected official and she should be held to a higher standard, that to me is not a high standard at all. I feel that her behavior is extremely unbecoming of a board member and certainly not someone that I would expect would represent my needs as a member of this whole neighborhood. So I'm very much in favor of having her be removed.
Thank you very much, Miss. Does anybody else? Let's hear from Miss Schertzer. Maria Schertzer, you're recognized.
I just want to say that board member Waleko submitted a survey into the council file 13-1103 that's regarding the fire station. And I really think it's unfortunate that the board members didn't do their due diligence and fact check the survey that Mr. Waleko submitted as factual to the public comment in the file. He stated that he and some individuals went out and conducted a survey within a 1,000-foot radius of the proposed alternative site. And he submitted a petition signed by approximately 30 people, supposedly within a 1,000, you know, comprised within that 1,000-foot radius. And I had pointed out to you previously that a 1,000-foot radius would have gone somewhere beyond Hamlin, nearly to Van Nuys Boulevard, to Kester, and a few blocks south of Fryer. Whereas his survey of some 30 signatures was only really from Fryer Street, approximately 12 to 15 addresses. Four were against, 26 were for the alternative site, and he did admit that two didn't care because they were part of the church and they were leaving anyway and didn't live around here. They lived in Arleta and downtown Los Angeles. So factually, it was only 24 people that he got signatures from, whereas if he had conducted a survey of a 1,000-foot radius, as he stated in his survey, there would have been thousands of people he would have had to get opinions or signatures from. He didn't. Yet he stated in his survey that he submitted to public comment in the council file that it is clear that the majority of the residents of the survey area, 1,000-foot radius, which never happened, support the alternative site. So if someone wants to get picky about what's said and how accurate or truthful or not truthful something is, I think Mr. Waleko should be the first subject of investigation, because he submitted basically a Mickey Mouse phony survey as factual into the council file. That's all I have to say.
We're going to hear from the Honorable Mayor of Van Nuys first.
Yes, thank you, President Thomas.
You've spoken more than once.
The one thing that we do want to remember is, as the board is elected and the trust is put into everyone on this board, there were times in the past that a few people did speak out of turn and they were talked to. It never came to a vote of this nature. However, the behavior was either corrected or the person ended up leaving the board. The way I'm understanding this is an ongoing issue with apparently Ms. Hopp, with the way she conducts herself, sometimes speaking out of turn, representing the entire board, as it kind of threw me back when it was we, meaning the entire board of Van Nuys. And you cannot go back next week and go to a meeting and change the bylaws. The bylaws get changed every 2 years, and they need to be approved by Dunn, regardless of you submitting them, until they have that stamp of approval. So you have to do your due diligence and follow the bylaws. And the bylaws say no censuring. You're to remove a board member in the certain protocol that's taking place. So with that understood, remember, it's not only Ms. Hopp's face, it's everyone's face that the stakeholders look to. And if one falls, the rest of them aren't far behind. We need to stand as a united unit, as the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council. And the best thing I see is when I watch the news, I always see the part of Van Nuys, with the sheriff's debate with Tanaka down there, they always had the Van Nuys poster right behind them. So it always made me feel proud that, at least they're using the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council as a backdrop. So think of that on your vote. It's either yes or no, but you should follow the bylaws the way it's set forth.
Yes, ma'am.
They're assuming. They can't assume and say that.
Most of you know me. My name is Beverly Simpson, and I would like to just address what Ms. Hopp said downtown, because I believe there are some facts that need to be straightened out. On a recording, she said that those people don't even live across the street. I live across the street. I think all of you know that my house is the one that faces the door to the fire station. So that was an incorrect statement. She also said that those people want double pane windows and walls. I have never asked for that. I don't want that. I've never spoken to a politician about it. I've never spoken to any of you on the council about it. I've never stood here and said, we want a wall. I've never done that. So when she says those people, I'm one of those people and I live across the street. There's one more thing I'm going to just mention that speaks to Ms. Hopp's character. On your last election, I came here to vote. I was unfamiliar with a name on there. I know most of your names, but there was one person running, and I didn't recognize his name, and I stood there with my paper. And Ms. Hopp said, she was there, and she said, what's wrong? And I said, who is this person? And she said, come with me around the corner, because I can't tell you here in this building. Come with me around the corner. So I left the building. I walked around the corner with her. I'm not familiar with the voting protocols. I just followed her. And I said, who is this person? And she said, oh, don't vote for him. Vote for this person. Oh. And then she saw Mr. Lynn's name, and she said to me, don't vote for him. He's a lawyer. I just made my own vote, but I just believe that speaks to her character as far as fair voting. It speaks to her character that she would take me aside and try to tell me which way to vote. And I never mentioned it before because, in contrary to what she said about me, I am a nice person, and I didn't want to get her in trouble. I didn't want to bring anything up. But she said to that city council that we're not very nice people. And I take umbrage with that, Ms. Hopp, because I'm a pretty nice person. And I haven't had anybody say that about me in a long time. And I think she's misunderstanding anger for passion sometimes, that we're very passionate. And one last thing, in regards to the woman that no one knows who she is, who came pretty close to Nuri Martinez. I have no idea who she is. She doesn't represent my group. So when people think about that woman almost attacking Martinez, I have no idea who she is. I didn't meet with her. We don't know who she is. So again, we're trying to get straight facts, that's all. So the fact is, she is not part of our group. We have no idea who she is. She may have even been hired by an outside source. But before you associate her with our group, she is not part of our group. And that's all I need to say tonight. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Jacob Lynn. I'm a resident as well of the homes where the fire station will be affected. Obviously, it's not about the fire station. This is about Jeanette Treasurer Hopp's decorum and her conduct that I've seen every time I've been here. And I have to say I think it's unacceptable. Not only the fact that personally in this council, what she does breaks all the rules of conduct and decorum laid out by this council, but also the fact that when she went to the city, she not only misrepresented all of you, but also flew in the face of fact and record that exists. The fact that we are also misrepresented as well is egregious. The fact that we're talking about three strikes, it shouldn't even be brought up. This is such an egregious offense that this should be a zero tolerance policy issue. It's as simple as that. Thank you.
Thank you, Jacob. Candito, and then Kathleen.
I've ever had to deal with in all the years that I've been in, because there sits a wonderful woman, a really kind, but things have happened, and all I can do is ask you to look at, we swore in two people tonight, and go over what you swore to do, and one of them is that you represent all the people within your area, and there shouldn't be a boundary, and that's what I've seen is some people think, well, this is my boundary, you're an elected official, you took an oath, and each and every one of you have to look at that oath, and if it's been violated, then you vote one way, if it wasn't violated, you vote the other way, but remember, it represents you, so again, this is a very, very difficult situation.
Does anybody else have anything before Mrs. Hopp responds to the allegations?
Kathleen,
you're recognized.
Okay, thank you. When we were at the May 14th meeting, Marion Fogler, myself, my buddy over here, and there were a few others that were there, but when she was saying we all came together. Monica was there. And so, I mean, when she's saying we, and I was and am 100% for the fire department being over on Oxnard, 100%. And if it hadn't have been for the fire department engine 39, my husband would be dead. Thank God for the fire department. And if the fire department were there in your area, maybe you might hear the siren for a half a second, maybe 5 seconds as they take off. Okay, but my husband's life was saved. Yeah, it was. Thank God, if you believe in him.
All right, we will hear from Miriam. We will hear from Miriam, Donna.
Yes. This is the problem with our government. It goes very slow. And unfortunately, I didn't hear anything about it. Hearing about the Fire Station 39 hearing years ago, but if it had been brought up, like I said before, unfortunately, it got passed, and they spent $3-4 million. I'm sorry for you folks. I wish that you could have had redressed it then. You know, but you got to work with the government, and you got to work with the people. And, you know, I mean, I got to support what's best for the taxpayer, okay? That's just my opinion. And I appreciate Mrs. Hopp saying we, you know, saying we. And that, you know, because of the tax, because it costs the taxes. We're trying to save money for the city. Well, thank you very much.
All right, Donna, then Bart Reed.
It seems to me like all of a sudden they decide that she did something, some huge, gregarious wrong, and then all of a sudden is without any warning, all of a sudden just kick her off all of a sudden. I mean, I don't understand how this is going. I mean, anybody's going to pretty soon is going to be kicked off if they accidentally said majority. I mean, God's sakes. I mean, where does this warning come from? Where does this really discovering that maybe, hey, and if she did something wrong, get a warning, and so that then they'll know that, hey, I'm going to be real careful when, you know, when I go, I'm made to go down as a budget advocate. That's what she was doing. Going down as a budget advocate and be very careful about what these people are thinking of, and all these people that are favored. You just can't kick somebody off for one time going down, and you can't use previous times because that was not addressed. That was not addressed and brought down as a warning. So you can't say that she did something past, and maybe she did, maybe she didn't. So the whole fact of the matter is, you know, pretty soon the stakeholders will be shown off. So don't remove her. They got to go to a set with warnings and things like that.
Thank you, Donna. Bart Reed. Are you the same transportation advocate? I see your emails. Are you the same Bart Reed?
Yes.
Well, how are you, sir?
I'm fine tonight.
There you go.
In Washington, D.C., I lived across from the Lanier Fire Station. My room window, second floor window, was right outside the fire station. Busy fire station, runs all night and all. That fire station is in a real urban area, not in suburbia out here on Oxnard Street, but all block of 2- and 3-story buildings on both sides of the street, and there's the fire station protecting the public and saving. What, on Lanier?
Okay.
You know where that is? It's right near. It's in near the park, the Woodley Park Zoo, right up the street. You know, okay. You can walk to the Red Line station there.
Sure.
Anyways, the fire station had a protocol, and this protocol would be something that this council and the community activists here could represent. The fire station simply had a couple of firefighters walk out onto the street before the truck rolled out. They flagged down the street. They didn't have to turn on the truck. They made sure that the street was clear because, you know, we're talking about 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. And there was a protocol that didn't destroy the neighborhood and didn't destroy the community. It wasn't beyond belief. It was just the firemen being civil to the community, having relationship with the neighbors. When I grew up, Fire Station 102 right over here on Burbank Boulevard, I live behind that fire station. Same thing. My bedroom window was right there. You know, firemen were saving lives. Now there's firemen and firewomen. And we managed to be congenial with them. They had us over there with barbecues and things like that. The firemen in the city of Los Angeles like to be good neighbors. It's really unfortunate that the community activists and the neighborhood council representatives can't sit down and have a mediation. We've done mediation in Sylmar Neighborhood Council when people had issues such as this, And the normal protocol would be a mediation. I really don't know how the bylaws were constructed that you essentially have somebody who's done, they've stumbled, and you put them in the stocks, you leave them out in the rain, you kill them, or you beat them, or you flog them, or you do some sort of hideous thing. What's with faulty bylaws? I mean, I'd identify this issue as faulty bylaws. If there's no protocol for censorship, really the reality here is to run a neighborhood council properly, there should be mediation. If the neighborhood activists have a concern, why not have protocol to figure this out? This is going to be in perpetuity by their houses. The fire people are going to be saving lives in perpetuity. It could be somebody's autistic child over there that needs the help, and maybe that few seconds will save a life. But the reality here is that we need to bring civility back to this neighborhood council. We need to have a set of rules, and rather than doing what I would call the Salem witch trial tonight, I think that Derek should rethink what he's doing, figure out how to have mandatory mediation between some of the neighborhood council members, and help Jeanette with the error of her ways. I didn't see anything so hideous in testifying. It gets passionate when lives are at stake. The police and fire in the city of Los Angeles, they're either revered, or in this particular case, there's an exception with the neighborhood activists. And but that doesn't mean that we can't figure out a way to mitigate their concerns and not kill this neighborhood council. And I would really like to see that this thing go in a different direction. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Does anybody else have anything before Jeanette speaks? Yes, sir. And then Jacob will follow up with you, and then.
I wasn't. My name is Dick McGarvin, and I wasn't going to speak tonight because I think all the points have been very well made. And with all due respect to the gentleman who just stood here, I'd like to remind you that the issue on the table is not pro or con the location of the fire station. It's about the behavior of Ms. Hopp. And I feel that she misrepresented us, misrepresented you, and that's really all that has to be discussed.
Thank you, sir. Jacob, 10 seconds real quick, and then we'll hear from Mrs. Hopp.
Just reinforce the points he brought before. The issue is not about the fire station 39 or any fire station. This is about the decorum and conduct of Treasurer Hopp. I just want to make that very clear. Ranting about fire stations or talking about fire stations, good or bad, it's irrelevant to the issue at hand. Thank you.
Thank you, Jacob. Mrs. Hopp, you are recognized, and you can answer the allegations.
And can she also answer who sent her to that meeting?
No.
The lady of the hour. Let's let her address the allegations before her. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeanette Hopp.
Okay. I will have to say that the characterization of my personal integrity and the fact that my personal integrity is being impugned is really upsetting, obviously. I will also have to say that I don't know how anybody could get inside my head except me. When I said we, they're assuming that I said we, meaning, and I said we because it was Miriam and I and Kathleen with whom I was there speaking about, the Van Nuys residents with whom I personally have spoken, and the board members who agreed with me, and Nuri Martinez. I did not specify that each and every time. I didn't realize I needed to do that. I apologize for not having specified that. And I did misspeak when I said majority. I didn't remember having said that. But I will tell you, and I know I wasn't supposed to talk, but I'm sorry, you have to forgive me, but I just can't let this go on without saying something. But I will tell you that that tape has been edited, because one of the very first things that I said after I said who I was, I said, I'm telling you that I'm not related to Mr. Hopp because of his reputation. I didn't use that word reputation, but I said because of his prior dealings with the city. And I did say
but I believe his heart is in the right place. Did anybody hear that? No, but I said it. So I'm telling you right now that that tape has been edited, and I don't appreciate that. I will also tell you that taking and putting the logo on the top of that petition is prejudicial. It's inflammatory. It is libel and slander. When you say that I out and out lied, I will tell you that at several meetings, and when I said people weren't nice, I meant just exactly what I said. I was sworn at, and at the last month's meeting, Marilyn Havard spoke up and said that she witnessed it on many occasions and that it was very disconcerting and disruptive and annoying, and she didn't want to see it happen anymore. That's what I was talking about. Because I saw it, I heard it, and it was very disruptive and annoying to me, too. And if you think it's okay, Derek, then I feel sorry for you. And I will tell you, we are not friends, and I told you that because of what happened after the election and the texting back and forth. And you know when I was called a very nasty thing, and I walked up to you and told you and asked you if you heard, and you denied having heard it. And then I asked you to speak to that person, and you refused to do that as well. And that ended our friendship. So for you to come before the executive committee and to come here and say you're a friend of mine, that to me is a bold-faced lie. And some of the other things you said were not true, too. And what Maria said was my repeating something that was said to Paul and Ann by Mrs. Lynn, not me. Okay, so I'm going to tell you I'm sick and tired of being mischaracterized and things being said that are not true. They don't agree with me, that's fine. But for me to be thrown off just because I didn't vote the way they wanted, we all know that's exactly what this is all about. And for them to say there's all these other things that have nothing to do with what I've been doing is wrong. And I'm sorry, that's all I can say. I can't believe that this is happening. I can't believe that you think that it's okay to throw someone off because they made a mistake. Well, my dad was a very wise man, and he told me that's why razors are on pencils, because no one's perfect. And I defy any one of you in this room to say that you're perfect and you've never made a mistake, because if you do say that, you're liars.
George.
I did.
George.
I apologize for having misspoke. Did you not hear that?
Can I call for the vote?
No. Call for the vote. You know what?
Mm-hmm. We, I think everything has been said. And for 8M, the removal of board member Jeanette Hopp by a recorded vote.
Come on. Oh, give me a break.
Let's leave all of this behind.
All right. So what we are going to do is, and Maria, the procedure set forth was everyone speaks and then Ms. Hopp speaks. So I'm not, we're just going by procedure. Let me state as the president of the council and the chair of the committee on the whole that, and it's, there's nothing special in the way I'm going to vote, but I would hope that we give any and every board member the benefit of the doubt, okay? A council member should have the opportunity to apologize, and there is an expression that, you know, the person backpedals faster than a politician. Okay?
Mr. She President, I apologize. I'm speaking out of turn because you use the term benefit of the doubt. There is no doubt in the situation. There is a recorded testimony of Ms. Hopp lying directly on film, on tape.
What I'm saying,
there's no benefit of doubt. There's no doubt.
What I'm saying is that she should have an opportunity to apologize just like any and every board member up here. If this happened to any one of you, I would take the same position. Whether it be Derek or Penelope or Maria, we're all human. We are allowed to make a mistake and apologize for it. I did like Lizette's suggestion that we send a letter to the Board of Public Works clarifying the actual VNNC position. Okay? This board did vote twice for a community impact statement to move the fire station to five or six different places. I know this for a fact because I ran the meeting. I know this for a fact because I did the agenda. And I know this for a fact because I was the one that personally submitted the community impact statement, and I voted for it twice. So as the chair of this council, that actually happened. Ms. Hopp did misrepresent the VNNC position to the Board of Public Works. Lizette's idea of sending the letter to the Board of Public Works clarifying our position is genius, and I support that. I also want to go on record as stating that I would like to establish the procedure for censure. With that, I call for a vote on 8M.
Seconded.
Mr. Secretary.
President Thomas.
I vote no on the removal of Mrs. Hopp.
Vice President Benjamin.
No on the removal.
Okay, Secretary Hendry. I will vote aye. Ms. Havard?
No.
Ms. Meyer?
No.
Mr. Lazarevitz?
No.
Okay. Mr. Martin?
No.
Mr. Guevara?
No.
Ms. Skelton?
Yes.
Mr. Camara?
Yes.
Mr. Waleko?
Yes.
Mr. Anand? Not?
I'm going to vote no.
Okay. Mr. De La Cuesta?
No.
Thank you. Ms. Padden?
Kathleen? No?
We're voting. Yes or no to remove me?
No.
Thank you. Mr. Lynn?
Yes.
Mr. Luna?
No.
Mr. Marabi? Robbie is...
Yes, I'm just thinking. No.
Okay. Ms. Arzola?
Abstain.
Okay. I count 5 aye, 12 no, 1 abstain. It fails.
All right, moving on, 8N, the VNNC to establish a standing rule which states as follows. A Van Nuys council member may at any time represent their own opinion, their position on an issue, or how they voted on any particular item, provided they are only representing themselves as a single individual Van Nuys council member.
Mr. President, may I make one request? Is that there are a bunch of people here who are here for planning and land use issues who have been waiting for patiently.
Okay, here's what we'll do. We'll get past the standing rule and then jump into the plum stuff. Okay, very good. This standing rule will be a great clarification as to what we can and cannot do, and this actually came about by what has happened in regards to Mrs. Hopp. Once again, the VNNC to establish a standing rule which states as follows. A Van Nuys council member may at any time represent their own opinion, their position on an issue, or how they voted on any particular item, provided they are only representing themselves as a single individual Van Nuys council member and not as a representative of the board as a whole. Additionally, when needed to and advised to do so, a Van Nuys council member may represent the board as a whole, provided they are elected to do so before said particular event, gathering, or meeting. Background. Organizations sometimes adopt rules of procedure that add to or vary from the rules of parliamentary law as stated in their parliamentary authority. The rules that are intended to stand until revoked are termed standing rules. Organizations have the right to adopt special or standing rules by majority vote without notice and to abolish them in the same manner. Do we have any discussion or debate on the standing rule? Very good. Without any objection, I make a motion that we adopt 8N as is.
Right.
Do we have? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I would like to say I'm absolutely greatly appalled by what you guys just did. I don't think I want to come back here anymore because I can't take you guys seriously. That was a very important meeting. Whether she planned to say that and then backtracked, you don't know that. Okay? So... To hear you guys say that makes me think, well, anything can happen here, you know. There's no trust. It's like one strike, two strikes, whatever. She could have planned this. I'm not saying that she did, but she could have, and just twisted the words around.
that.
Maybe she had that all thought out. But it doesn't matter. She said we and not I, whether she meant her friends or not. That was a very important meeting for us. That was a very important vote. We fought very hard for this. Two times, not one time, two times. And she goes down there and says that is just unacceptable. I'm never coming back here again.
Ma'am, I believe that that's what this next thing's about. That's what we're about to discuss now.
8N has, I put the motion to adopt 8N in the language as is. Council member. Yes, Miriam.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. I think it's a very good thing to have a standing rule. Because, you know, you never know when it's going to be a rainy night or a rainy day. It's necessary, okay? So I'm for it, and this is a very good move on the part of the neighbor council. Thank you.
Thank you, Miriam. Okay, we have to listen. We have to take
okay,
your
only
comments.
Take a moment. Yes. Okay, I also think it's a good idea because we really need to come by and say exactly what we can do, and I think it's a good idea that people will know if they say it's my opinion. I belong to the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council, and it's in my opinion. So that way you don't come up and bring out. So, yeah, I think this is about time. After what happened, we've got to come up with something like this so that this won't happen again, so everybody knows exactly how things are done. So thank you for coming up with something like this. I think it's good so far, so hopefully it won't hit me on the bottom of the pier and it'll be bad, but it looks good. So thank you.
Thank you, Donna. And with that, Mr. Lazarovitz seconded the motion. I call for the vote, Mr. Secretary, on 8N.
President Thomas.
Yes.
Vice President Benjamin.
Yes.
Secretary Hendry. Aye. Treasurer Hopp.
Aye.
Ms. Havard.
Yes.
Ms. Meyer.
Yes.
Mr. Lazarevitz.
Yes.
Mr. Martin.
Yes.
Mr. Guevara.
Yes.
Ms. Skelton.
Yes.
Yes, okay. Mr. Kamara.
Yes.
Mr. Bileko.
Yes.
Mr. Anand.
Aye.
Mr. De La Cuesta.
Yes.
Ms. Padden.
Yes.
Mr. Lynn.
Yes.
Mr. Luna.
Aye.
Mr. Marabi.
Yes.
Ms. Zarzola. Okay, unanimous.
Very good. I did say we're going to jump right into the planning and land use stuff. On 8O, the special committee, Richard, you had a thing on that. Can we just briefly touch upon that, establish it, and then move on? Is that okay? We're going to do 8O and then get into the planning and land use. 8O is the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council to create and establish a special committee with a 90-day sunset clause addressing street vending in Los Angeles. Mr. Hopp, you're for it?
I'm for it, but my only position is I'll do it as an advisory role and so forth. I'm not going to subject myself to under the Public Records Act. There will be very strong opposition. And so forth. So if you needed me as an advisory role or an amicus or something like that, that's not a problem. I have no problem doing that. But I will not be willing to be listed as a participating board member.
Fair enough.
I've chosen the chair of the committee.
Okay, but I'm not.
I got it.
Okay, so that's it.
With that being said, I make a motion that we adopt 8O as is, the Van Nuys Neighborhood Council to create and establish a special committee with a 90-day sunset clause addressing street vending in Los Angeles with our esteemed vice president to chair the committee.
I will need help on this, so I can several of you to step up.
All right. Seconded.
Very good. Second by Paul Anand. Mr. Secretary, I call for the vote.
Does an appointment need a vote? But okay.
Unless it's a unanimous.
I think it's unanimous. Let's ask.
Do we have a unanimous consent on this vote? No objections. No.
I'm sorry, Mr. President. We said we were going to go. We weren't going to take a vote like that till next time. I mean, changing the rules now doesn't
He's
make
right.
any sense.
Okay. I call for the vote.
Okay.
Yep.
President Thomas.
Yes.
Vice President Benjamin.
Yes.
Secretary Hendry, aye. Treasurer Hopp? Ms. Havard? Ms. Havard?
No. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Ms. Meyer?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarevitz?
Yes.
Mr. Martin?
Yes.
Mr. Guevara?
Yes.
Ms. Skelton?
Yes.
Mr. Kamara?
Yes.
Mr. Maleko?
Yes.
Mr. Anand?
Yes.
Mr. De La Cuesta?
Yes.
Ms. Patton?
Yes.
Mr. Lynn?
Yes.
Mr. Luna?
Yes.
Mr. Marabi?
Yes.
Ms. Arzola? Okay, thank you. Unanimous.
The motion passes unanimously. All right, getting into planning and land use. Jerry is, yes. Are we? Is this Regina?
No, this is for Mountain.
Okay, what order did you want to go in, or we'll just go down the list? Okay, so item 8P14401, Valerio Street, asking a letter of support to change an R1 zone into an RD1.5 zone for a small lot subdivision. Planning committee asks at the previous meeting to outreach to the neighbors for their input, reduce the amount of units to allow for guest parking in open space, and revise the design of exterior elevations. Regina Minor.
That was misspelled.
Okay. Regina Minor. You're recognized.
Yes. And we've done just that. The unit count, lot count, is down to 7 versus 8. We worked with the Plum Committee, and we worked with the council's office as well, as far as the layout of where the guest parking is. We are providing that. We're not asking for any increase in height. We did change the exterior of the possible design, and we actually reduced the density to an RD2.
Does anybody have any questions for Regina?
How many bedrooms are these per unit?
This is, I believe, will be to 2 to 3 bedrooms maximum.
So the ones with like 2 parking are like 2 bedroom, and the ones with 3 parking are like 3
We're
bedroom.
Providing guest parking, so on site, yes.
Oh, great.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm sorry? Each of them has, they are each on the average of 2,000 to 2,800 square feet. That's why we decided to reduce the density, and we're not asking for an RD 1.5, but we downed it to 2. And we're also dedicating the whole Runnymede that's going all the way through, because the owner actually owned it all the way through. So we're dedicating the whole street to go around.
Do we have any objections to this project?
I'm sorry, sir?
I was just asking the council. Karina, this came out of your committee just fine?
Yes. The only thing that my concern is that
they shouldn't have waited 4 months. That's not what you're getting.
Which is what we did. But, go ahead, sorry. We're good at 30 feet. I also actually suggested that if the board wishes, we could ask planning at the hearing to add, or you can recommend in writing, to add once we are in design permitting stage. If the board wishes to look and see what it may look like, we have no problems as far as the exterior. No, because we have to work with you anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Yeah, we're literally at the tentative stage. Plans have not been drawn up, so that's where we're at. But we have absolutely no problems submitting it for your review at that time, once it's tentatively approved.
To this project?
Yeah, because I think
absolutely fine. I don't have an issue with them at all.
Does anybody else have any questions for Regina? Without objection, I make a motion that we adopt 8P as is and give this nice lady a letter of support. Do I have any objections? All right, I make a motion that we adopt 8P, the language as is, seconded by Councilmember Lazarovitz. Mr. Secretary, I call for the recorded vote.
Okay, President Thomas.
Yes.
Vice President Benjamin.
Yes.
Secretary Hendry, yes. Treasurer Hopp.
Aye.
Ms. Havard.
Yes.
Ms. Meyer.
Yes.
Mr. Lazarevitz.
Yes.
Mr. Martin.
Yes.
Mr. Guevara.
Okay.
He is
left.
Okay. Ms. Skelton.
She left, and Derek is giving her a ride home, and is going to be back in 5 minutes.
Okay. Mr. Kamara.
Yes.
Mr. Waleko is out. Mr. Anand.
Aye.
Mr. De La Cuesta.
Yes.
Ms. Padden. Mr. Lynn.
Mr. Lynn.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Luna.
Yes.
Mr. Marabi.
Yes.
Ms. Arzola.
Yes.
Okay. I still count 15 present, so that's, we're getting closer to the quorum, but that passes, yes.
Very good.
Thank you. I'm glad I stayed.
There it is. Carino, give me the language, and we'll get the letter done. All right, moving on. 8Q, the River Project. Presentation of the River Project, asking the VNNC to write a motion letter to the mayor and council representatives in our district area, a citywide program to get communities from different council districts to capture, conserve, and reuse water in L.A. by converting usable or contaminated water away from storm drains and the Los Angeles River that flows into the ocean. Jessica Sanchez will explain different ways to conserve water by gray water systems, collecting cisterns, and other means of reusing water. Jessica Sanchez, you are recognized.
Hello, I'll try to keep it short. My name is Jessica Sanchez. I'm working with a nonprofit called The River Project, and we are working towards a healthy LA river nourished by a healthy watershed. Right now we're working on a program called Water LA that shows residents how to capture, conserve, and reuse water through hands-on workshops. Our initial project was in... There we go. So our initial project was in Panorama City. We worked on 25 homes adjacent to the Woodman Median Project. Each home has one of our key strategies for capturing rainwater. The Woodman Median used to flood a lot, and that's why it was chosen for this project. It also has monitoring stations, which is why the adjacent area was targeted.
I don't have one.
This map shows you the project area. You can see each dot is a project at a property. We also worked in Studio City. The Studio City project was funded by the Department of Water and Power. The Panorama City one was funded by the Coastal Conservancy. In Studio City residents got up to $500 in materials, and all labor was covered through volunteer efforts. The reason we're doing all this is because a healthy watershed allows for water to percolate into the aquifers. So right now we have these aquifers that are sitting and are empty. And the mayor has said that he wants local water supply imported water to be cut in half by the year 2050. So this supports those efforts. And currently, this is more of what our system looks like. There aren't really any opportunities for water capture. And when there are opportunities to capture water, for example, 1-inch rainstorm, we're throwing over 7 billion gallons of water away. So the key strategies that we are implementing through Water LA are rain tanks and cisterns, rain gardens and rain grading, parkway retrofits, gray water systems. We're breaking up hardscapes, putting in infiltration trenches, and creating native and edible landscapes. So when we do the workshops, we show residents the different strategies that they can implement. And when residents choose, for example, a rain tank or a cistern, we show them how to measure the roof to measure what size rain tank they're going to need. Because a small rain tank, like the one on the top right, will actually overflow in a typical rainstorm within minutes. With the rain grading and the rain gardens, we show you how to grade your property for water capture. The picture on the right is a property in Panorama City during the rain in February. The stones to the left are actually covering up a gutter that is feeding the rain garden. The parkway retrofits are new to Los Angeles. Arizona has been doing them for years. We're working with the city to legalize them. So this is a pilot program, and this is how we were able to do them. But what a curb cut does is you can see in the left photo, the wet area on the left is actually dry weather runoff. So somebody was watering their lawn, and all of that water went into the parkway and is percolating. So the rest of the street stays dry. And with gray water systems, we actually worked with the city to cut the cost of a permit from your shower and your sink to your landscape from $1,000 to $100. And we actually do a lot of laundry to landscape systems, which don't require a permit at all. And with permeable surfaces, we encourage things like Hollywood driveways or curb cuts. You can't see it on the right, but we broke up that driveway and puzzle pieced it back together. And infiltration trenches are also a really simple thing homeowners can do. You just cut a sliver out of your driveway. You put in these boxes to create a void space, fill it with gravel, and you have a space for water capture. So if you guys want to check out the different projects that we've done in Panorama City, you can drive around the neighborhood off of Roscoe and Woodman, and each house will have one of these little signs that lists all the different projects that we're working on. So through Water LA, we're working on how-to guides that homeowners can access online if they want to implement any of these projects. So at every workshop, everybody gets this packet. And then after the workshop, we ask for feedback. What did you understand? What could we do better to make this a simpler process for you? And this is an example of something that you would find in that packet, for example, for a gray water system and a curb cut. So we're not only doing these workshops, we're working with other nonprofits, other organizations to create this online hub for everyone to come to when they want to implement one of these projects. We want Water LA to be the central location for this sort of work. And these are some of the organizations we're working with. So we're coming to the Neighborhood Council to ask for a letter of support to the mayor and your council members saying, yes, we want to see some of these projects in our neighborhood. We've already been working in Panorama City and Studio City, and we're looking to get this into every council district. So.
Do you have a card so I can do it?
Yes.
One of those things where you show the gravel?
Uh-huh.
I see that in Reseda.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's what that is.